Sunday the 9th of December 2018, 10:45 service. Sermon series, What Are You Waiting For? Sermon title, A Promise. Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Talk by Roger Whip.
Good morning, everyone. This morning's reading is from the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 1 to 7, which you'll find on page 487, should you wish to follow it in the Pew Bible. To us a child is born. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, and this is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. So let's just pray. Father God, I just thank you for the privilege, but also the responsibility that you've given me to share from your word. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be here in power this morning. Lord, I love preaching because I always learn something new. I always get challenged myself. So be with us, I pray, by your Spirit this morning. Amen. Now, during the wedding rehearsal, the groom approached the vicar with a very unusual offer. I'll give you £100 if you change the wedding vows, the groom said. When you get to me and the part where it asks if I promise to love, honour and obey and forsaking all others, being faithful for her forever, I'd appreciate it if you just leave that little bit out. And he passed the minister a cheque for £100 and he walked away quite satisfied. The day of the wedding arrived, and they reached a part in the ceremony where the vows are being exchanged. And when it came to the groom's vows, the vicar looked at him straight in the eye and said, "Will you promise to prostrate yourself before her, obey her every wish and command, serve her breakfast in bed each and every morning of your life, and swear eternally before God and your beautiful wife that you'll never ever look another woman in the face as long as you shall both live?" Well, the groom gulped, looked around and replied in a very meek voice, "Yes." And after the wedding, the groom pulled the vicar aside and he hissed, "I thought we had a deal." The vicar put the £100 cheque back into the groom's hand and whispered, "Sorry, son, she made me a much better offer." I wonder how many of us have been promised something that never realised. You know, promises are like babies. They're easy to make, but they're hard to deliver. I know I've delivered a few when I was on the ambulance service. Napoleon Bonaparte said, "The best way to keep one's word is not to give it." And Abraham Lincoln said, "We must not promise what we ought not, least we'll be called on to perform what we cannot. I resisted the temptation to quote Theresa May. I think all of us had by now had enough of the Brexit thing, whatever side we support. And one thing for certain, whatever the outcome will be, there'll be some people that will be disappointed and feel very let down. A genuine prophecy from God is similar to a fulfilled promise. The difference between the man of God, the aforementioned vicar, and God himself is that God always keeps to his word. We cannot bribe him or coerce him to change his plan. Today's reading can be split into two parts as far as the prophecy is concerned. The promise of God. The first four verses reflect on God's Old Testament fulfilled promises to defeat the Assyrian army, just as Gideon had defeated the Midianites. And then God promises there will be even more victories when the child Jesus is eventually born, ushering in the New Testament promises. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Father of Peace. Can you imagine living soon after Isaiah's prophecy, especially as the Northern Territory of Israel has suffered terribly under the Assyrian persecution? They must have been eager for the arrival. They say that patience is a virtue, but it took 700 years for the promised delivery of Jesus, the saviour of the world. And we think that the Royal Mail are slow to deliver. The uniqueness of Jesus, the promise, is that this promise comes packaged with so many other attached promises. You know, the Bible is packed with the promises of God. The promises are incredibly important for us because they help us to keep grounded and to give us hope in troubled times. In fact, we should be building our lives upon God's trustworthy promises. Now, here are seven promises for those who choose to follow Jesus, which I came across on the Jesus Film Project website. The first one, we're promised life. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." Matthew 16, 24 to 25. The second promise is acceptance. "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." John 6, 37. The third promise, reward. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Matthew 10, 29 to 31. You see, following Jesus requires sacrifice. There are times when the immediate benefit of going our own way may appear to be outweighing the potential gains of obedience. Jesus wants us to know that our sacrifices aren't in vain. And there's nothing that we can surrender that exceeds, that what is attained in following him. The reward is far greater than rebellion. The next promise is revelation. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 14:21. When you get down to it, there's an element of God's truth that can only be understood from the inside. All the arguments and proofs for God's existence pale in comparison to actually experiencing a relationship with God through Christ. Jesus promises us that when we obey him, he will manifest himself to us. The fifth promise, friendship with God. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15:14-15. You see, Jesus came to reconcile God to mankind. The surprise there isn't just that a bridge would be built between God and humanity. It's that we could enter this world in a relationship as friends. Now, this is exactly what Jesus promises to us. And a sixth promise, joy. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. John 15:9-11. We're instructed to continually exist in God's love. And he tells us that we can do that by keeping his commands. Our obedience keeps the relationship alive and active, allowing us to remain in his love. Why does he want to securely stay in this relationship? So our joy will remain full. Jesus promises us that joy is a product of remaining in God's love. Sometimes when I see some Christians, I think, well, where is the joy in their life? They're not claiming that promise. And lastly, number seven, trials. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. When you get down to it, following Jesus puts you at odds with the world. This persecution can vary in extremes. Some that believe in Jesus will lose friends. I know Maggie and I did when I became a Christian. You may lose family, jobs, opportunities, maybe even your life. This truth is partially why these other promises exist. It's as if God is saying, following me will be a struggle, but there are things I have promised to those who persevere. Jesus says it this way: blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Matthew 5:10-11. Now, I guess most of us have received gifts at Christmas that we've been a little bit disappointed with, or perhaps we've never used. I can remember when I was an immature 14-year-old getting smellies like Brut or Old Spice aftershave, if you can remember them. You know, I hadn't even started shaving by then. And Maggie and I have so many unused scented candles, probably even more than the Vatican has. Still, I guess if some of the scaremongering does come true and we have power cuts after Brexit, we won't be in the dark. Verse 2 of our reading says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." I ask this question. Has the light shone into your darkness? You know, as we think about that seventh and most uncomfortable promise of Jesus I mentioned, expect trials and persecutions. Isn't it strange that every year around Christmas time, tragedies seem rife, either in our own lives or in the public and worldwide? It seems that the powers of darkness want to diminish the joy of the celebration of Christmas. This is often in very subtle ways. Now, for example, local councils and schools opting for more secular themes, such as Winter Festival, instead of mentioning Christ in Christmas, and nativity plays that feature things like Harry Potter and the likes, instead of a real Christian nativity. Only recently, a Church of England canon, Frieda Evans, organising a nativity play, asked parents to dress children as wise persons. Not wise men, they're banned. You know, neither I or the Met Office can promise you snow this Christmas. However, I can promise you that there'll be many snowflakes out there branding their political correctness that has already, I think, gone beyond the realms of common sense in many areas. Yes, we must deal with inequalities. But I'm sorry, ladies, it's a fact that the wise men were men, as was Jesus. I shall never forget when I attended St. John's Theological College to complete my Christian studies 25 years ago, a discussion took place regarding the gender of Jesus. And Maggie will confirm this because she came up there with me. They even showed us a woman Jesus bearing her boobs on the cross. For me, that was a total blasphemy. How I often question, where on earth is the Church of England leading us to? You know, prayer is another promise from God. He always hears our prayers. Although I guess there will be times that we may feel as disappointed as we did when we received those unwanted Christmas gifts. I guess all of us here this morning at some time in our lives have doubted or questioned God's ability and timing when we seek his help. Sometimes God's wisdom will grant our request straight away, or he may decide that we have to wait. One stormy night, an elderly couple entered the lobby of a small hotel and they asked for a room. The clerk said that they were full and they'd probably find so were all the other hotels in town because of the weather. Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it, for Bethlehem? And he went on to say, "But I can't send a fine couple like you out in the rain. Would you be willing to sleep in my room?" The couple hesitated, but the clerk insisted. The next morning, when the man paid his bill, he said, "You're the kind of man that should be managing the best hotel in the United States. Someday, I'll build you one." The clerk smiled politely. Just an empty promise, he must have thought. A few years later, the clerk received a letter containing an airplane ticket, and the letter invited him to go to New York. When the clerk arrived, the host took him to the corner of Fifth Avenue and 34th Street, where stood a magnificent new building. The man explained, "This is the hotel that I've built for you to manage." The man was William Waldorf Astor, and the hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. William Waldorf had kept his word, just as God did. And he will, even if it takes longer than we would expect or want. As most of you know, every fourth Saturday, except in December, I hold a men's prayer breakfast. And apart from baking sarnies and praying for each other, we have a thought for the day. And I always show an inspirational or challenging video clip, which we then discuss. Last month, I showed this video, which I'm now going to show you, as it proved to impact, challenge, and encourage many of us sitting around that breakfast table. Let's watch this video.
Old man playing Santa Claus, blew in the town with old Jack Frost. Now he's
today's given theme that Martin gave was, what are you waiting for? A promise? And I close with this challenge, which is for me as much as for you. Yes, we did receive God's promise in that stable 2018 years ago. And yes, there are even more promises to come, including the second coming and our salvation. But have you ever considered, what is God waiting for from us? At Christmas, we try to give the best presents we can to those that we love. If we really love God, what gift, pledge or promise could we possibly give him this Christmas? He doesn't need brute of Old Spice or even candles. Here are a few suggestions if you're stuck. He does want and expect us to be like scented candles, shining the light and love of Christ into the dark world. Could we promise to love and communicate with him more? Could we promise or pledge to increase our giving of time, and yes, I'll say that naughty word, money, to enable us here at St. Chad's to live up to our logo and motto, to be Christ-like inside and outside in Chapel Hill. In September, Maggie and I went on a Baltic cruise, and it was amazing. There were a number of highlights, but one that sticks out was when we left the port of Rostock, East Germany. There were three cruise ships docked there, and as we left the port, the town of Warnemünde laid on a free firework and laser display each time one of the ships left in succession. Our ship was the last to leave, so we had the joy of seeing not one, but three incredible displays. Not only that, but the whole town stood on the quayside and in their little boats waving us off with flashing torches. Why did they give this free, very expensive send-off? As a fairly new port for cruises, they were grateful for the trade that had been regenerated there. Following the unification of Germany in 1990, Rostock lost its privileged position as the number one port in the GDR, and the city's population declined to about 200,000 people. Today, Rostock and the town of Warnemünde are significant tourist destinations on the Baltic Sea. They did it in gratitude. Maybe we should light up the sky and display or speak words of gratitude more often, especially to God. How good it is to see the delight on somebody's face when we know the gift that we have given them has met with their delight and approval. Do we want to bring a smile back on God's face this Christmas? as we await further promises and blessings from God, I believe that he too is waiting for more promises of commitment from all of us, not just at Christmas, but for the rest of our lives. Amen.